lie. I be rolling with you, mommy. I be feeling the motion. When I'm inside you, I be deep as the ocean. When it comes to your love, can't lie. It be strong as a potion. That's why me and you forever be coasting. Let's roll.
Co-pilot on the passenger side. Be so fly. Yeah. She so lit. We so high. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Just me and my chick. Yeah. Co-pilot.
Yo, what's up, y'all? Welcome to another one, man. It's your boy, man. This is Sparking Conversation. And y'all know what we do each and every week, man. We chop it up with some of the world's most interesting people. And like we do, like I said, each and every week, we're not going to disappoint y'all this week either. We're still on that vibe, right, to help impact the families, right? Making sure that they have a voice out here, making sure that they can get this information out that they need to get out to the people, because they all are dealing with some things, right? And these are things that, you know, go unnoticed sometimes because it doesn't make the national news or it doesn't make the, you know, the real big story and the big scandal at the time where they could use it, you know, to their advantage. So a lot of these things that happen to these people go swept under the rug, but not anymore, right? Because see, now we got a way that we can continue to get the message out each and every day about the things that these families be facing, right? Because a lot of these families are facing things that are unspeakable. But there's too common for us not to have more dialogue about it and bring more awareness to it and understand what the voting power will do once you guys realize what's the reason why you should vote for certain things and pay attention to these new bills and these new amendments and things that they are coming up with, and they're masking it under other things. At the same time, they're doing all of these things to distract everybody, right? They got the whole thing with Diddy going on, and then, you know, everybody that's associated with him now, they throwing these names out and that names out just to keep everybody's energy focused somewhere other than where it need to be focused on. And that's like, yo, listen, isn't this election year? It's supposed to be one of the most important elections ever, and we hear more about what's going on in the Diddy joint. Like I say, I empathize for Cassie. The thing that happened on the video was mad ill. It was nasty. There's no condoning that. That man, it is what it is as far as that. And I hope, you know, when it come down to Cassie, how she feel and whatever justice they need to seek and however that go, I just, you know, wish them everything. And I wish the same thing for anybody else that's dealing with DV, as they call it right nowadays, right? But what I can't do is just sit here and act like the timing of this is not just so what coincidental, right? Because when we think about these things, right, whenever information is given out to the people where it causes them to have to do a little bit of thinking, they start to, you know, buck up, you know what I'm saying? They get in their feelings and shit, right? So, for example, earlier this week, I posted a clip in regards to just commentary me and Meek was having. Because, you know, I was coming back from the reparations convention, and there was just a lot of information that I got over the course of those 4 days. And in those 4 days, it made me see a lot. And it also helped me to understand different things, right? So one of the things that I was speaking about was the fact of the thing about the slave ships. Now, I put a clip up about that, and I don't know why people still, they get hung up on the clips like it ain't a part of something bigger so you can get a context. But that's the thing about emotional people and emotional men. They be exposing themselves each and every day. So when I come up here and I talk about that and I say that men are mad emotional and there's something that you got to do to try to control that and figure out a way that you can circumvent, you know, being so emotional and figure out how to control that, they say have emotional intelligence, is understanding something. Like, you should research before you just be quick to jump on somebody's stuff and just feel like you about to show them or you about to tell them, because technically, you know, sir, I did a lot of research before I sat up here and talked a whole bunch of junk about what the slave ships is. All I know is that you can't find one. And if you think I didn't miss, you know, represent what I was saying, I did not. I said over here in North America where we are, this scenario where we are, I said that we all didn't come on ships over here. Now, at the end of the day, if there were other places and other things, because the transatlantic slave trade was not just about the Americas. Sure, North America, Central America, South America, they all benefited from it. You know, the islands and all that other stuff. And then they also went to those other continents too, like Europe, like, you know, Asia, like Australia. So why y'all acting like the transatlantic slave trade didn't happen all over? All of them participated in it. I think the only people that didn't participate in it's a few, like Japan and a couple other people. But outside of that, mostly everybody else, you know, they contributed in it. So all these other places was closer. So you're not going to tell me that everybody was just letting them use the bathroom. This guy going to get on my post talking about, yo, they had to burn all the slave ships because of the smell and all that. I'm not saying they had to burn some, but you crazy to think that millions of people was transported over across the Atlantic Ocean on some ships and they ain't still got none? You crazy. Like, I don't care. Like, you ain't got to be a person that sit up here and want to be argumentative all the time, but you got to get out your feelings and do some research, because we do understand what the Lloyd's of London was, and these guys were the ones that was responsible for insuring the slave ships whenever they was doing the trades. You understand what I'm saying? That's why a few years ago, it was a bunch of people going at them like, yo, if it got something to do with reparations, you guys are a part of it. Because a lot of times the cargo never made it to where it was supposed to go. Why? Because they was doing insurance fraud back then too. So what are you talking about? Listen, I don't know. All I know is that I read still. It's a myth. When they say black people don't read, that's a lie. I still read. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to sit up here and just, you know, pop shit just because I feel like it. No, I'm dead ass. I know the oppressor, and you should too. There's nothing that they haven't done, that they haven't stolen, that they haven't made money off of and charge you to go see it. So you just think about it. If they got a whole battleship up here in some of these other places, they charge you to go see that. What the battleship killed? Okay, maybe it's just me. Like, I don't know. The battleship wasn't killed. It ain't kill people. It ain't murder people. What you talking about? Stop playing. And everybody paid to go up on there and walk around. So what are you talking about? Stop playing. We ain't all come over here on those ships. A lot of this is ours. That's why I'm talking about when it comes down to reparations, they have to think about it. Yo, they got to give it back. It ain't like they got to give us something. They got to give shit back. And that's what make it different. And that's why whenever people find a way to separate each other, they use stupid points like this instead of getting on a bit, you know, trying to figure out the whole context of what we was talking about. That's why it's a clip. Go watch the whole video, B. Anyway, that's my rant. All right, so look, this is what we're going to do. I'm going to bring Meek up because we got a guest tonight. And y'all know how I do, man. We're going to continue this whole movement with helping impact the families, right? Because like I said, we're not playing no games. These people they have a voice too. And just because it ain't the whole popular thing and it ain't the person, you know, that it happened to, is the name that makes national news. You know, a lot of time these people's cases and these situations that go on with these people, it just gets swept under the rug. But at the end of these days, these families are dealing with it each and every day. And to use the word is not fair, even though it's a real thing, because people always come back with like, yo, life ain't fair. Yeah, I get that. But then again, I bet. So you got to deal with these parents, because these parents come in and they trying to get these answers. And for those of you out here that have information or that know, you know, how you could be a part of this movement to help these people get this, just remember, it could be you. So that's why we continue to push forward. And tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to continue that movement. But listen, I'm going to bring Meek up real quick so we can figure out what's going on with her world for the week. And then we're going to bring my guest up. And like I say, for all y'all that's watching, just remember one thing, and all y'all that's going to watch the playback. Everything that we deal with on this platform is always something that can happen to you. So listen, don't be the person that sees these stories and hear these stories, and then when the information comes out, not be a part of at least helping to get the word out, right? Because if it happened to you, you're going to want somebody to do the same thing, all right? So let's not forget that. Let's see what's going on out here. Meek, what up? All right, what's going on?
And what are you eating? Cookie, Joe. These cookies are good. I never had them before. Magnolia Bakery banana pudding cookie. It's a banana pudding cookie.
Banana pudding cookie?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah. That sound like nothing but sugar, yo. Like a whole overdose. You probably ain't gonna go to sleep till tomorrow. How many cookies came in that pack? Because it looked like you got the whole pack bust open.
I only got one cookie. It's a 4-pack. Don't try to play me. I didn't know.
It just looked like the pack was busted open. You just rah. No, that's dope, though. But what's going on with you, man? How was your week?
It's been good. I've been hanging in there. How about you?
Yeah, it's the same. You know what I'm saying? Making shit shake, moving forward. So... All right, so you already know how we give it up on here, right? So this week we got a special guest with us, and we're going to bring her up. And this is crazy, right? Because, you know, we had Courtney Tompkins up here, right, on the platform, and she was dealing with a hit-and-run situation, right, in Georgia. And it was crazy because in her situation, the person that did it hit, ran, came back, and then got let go. So it's just weird to me how often that we're dealing with things that happen when it comes to, you know, pedestrians and people in motor vehicles, and then no one being held accountable for that. Like, that's crazy to me, all right? So here we go. We got another story here tonight coming out of Georgia, too, you know? And say that again.
In the same area?
Well, like that's the thing that we're going to get because, you know, like in Atlanta, everything is 20 to 30 minutes away and it's still Atlanta, right? So it could be a name that sound like a name, but that's really the name of a place, but not the street. So, you know, but we're going to figure that out because, you know, it's happening a lot in that city, period.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
There's a lot going on in that city.
It's crazy. And it just, that's just things that shouldn't be. And then people shouldn't, it shouldn't be with all these technology and cameras and stuff like that where, you know, people could just do things like this and not be held accountable for it. As much as all the other things that people go through, you know, as far as the impact of families are concerned, right? So we're going to bring our guest up real quick and we're going to let her introduce herself to the audience and let's get this word out. Hello.
Hello. Hi, Mika. How are you? Hey, Rashad. I'm good.
Hey.
First, let me say thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to come on your platform and to share my story.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No, I appreciate you allowing us to be the platform for you to share your story. You know what I mean? 'Cause I know how it could be. Well, at least, you know, to so many impacted families. I understand how it is with trying to get this information out that you guys get out. You know, it's not as easy as people may think it is, right?
Right.
So I definitely appreciate you coming on. Mm-hmm. So yeah, introduce yourself to the audience and let them know, you know, why you're on the platform this evening.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Valerie Handy Carey, and I'm here tonight to talk about my daughter, Brittany Patrice Glover, and I currently live in Ohio. My daughter was killed in Atlanta, Fulton County, on September 19th, 2022, and no one has been arrested. It was a hit and run, and I was looking over some film today, and one of the news stories that covered her said that there were cameras and that the police were going to look at to try to determine, to get some information as to who hit her. And I thought that was interesting because I've never been given that information. And when I initially talked to the Atlanta police, they told me that the cameras that was in the area was real time. So there was no actual recording of her accident. And the businesses that they talked to didn't cover the part of the street where she was hit. And so it's important that people understand that Atlanta is in the top 10 of pedestrian fatalities. And it's been like that for years. So for me, that's a flag. that has been like that for years, that nothing has been done and people are still being killed as we speak. At the time Brittany was killed, I think it was, I want to say 17 people had been killed, but so far it's been 38 people, pedestrians, that were killed. Donald Lee Hollowell Parkway is one of the most deadly, it's in the top five in the city of Atlanta of the streets where pedestrians have been killed or there's been really life-threatening injuries. And so my daughter, to go back a little bit, was in Atlanta because she was a new flight attendant and she was there to do a route. So they called her on a Friday evening to do a route in the city. And when you're a flight attendant, and Atlanta was her base. So wherever your base is, you have to fly from that base. So she left Columbus, Ohio on Friday night. And by Sunday night, she was dead. And so when I got the call around 2:30 that morning, my understanding from the officer that she died upon impact. But later I learned from a witness that they talked to her about 7 minutes. And so it wasn't upon impact. And so Brittany was my only daughter. And I haven't gotten any information since. The Atlanta police were so rude, the ones that I talked to. And I got the call at 2:30. I got to Atlanta in the area where she was hit by 7 a.m. in that morning. When I got there, the street was cleaned. There was no yellow tape, no crime scene tape. And what I was told was she was attending a venue called the Bonfire ATL. I don't know if you heard of that or not. They're open on Sundays. Anybody that's up and coming rapper, it's like an outdoor, it's an open parking lot that's fenced in and they have vendors and stuff like that. So she was attending with a friend. She had never been there before and they had taken her over there. And so, as she was leaving the venue that night, she stopped at the food trucks that was outside to get something to eat. And now, mind you, what I was told was there were police officers assisting people to cross the street. And at the time Brittany was leaving, they weren't there. And so she was crossing through from the middle, was my understanding. There's no crosswalk there at all. But if you read the initial police report, what was in the paper was that she walked outside the crosswalk. And typically if a pedestrian walks outside the crosswalk, they're at fault. And so they don't do anything for the pedestrian. And so my thing is whether, even though there was no crosswalk, even if there was, you still don't blame the victim. The driver has a duty and a responsibility to take safety precautions when they're driving. That's why they get a license. And Brittany was 5'9". And my feeling is, why didn't the driver see? If there was nothing else in the street, a three-lane highway going through, that's another problem. It's a highway going through a residential area. So if there was nothing else or no one else in the street, why didn't the driver see her first and foremost? And if there were other lanes, why didn't you swerve into another lane to avoid hitting her? And so when I went to look at where she was hit, there was no tread marks. There was no skid marks. There was nothing left from the car. So that means that person was going so fast, they just motored down. They never stopped. And the police hasn't really done anything else. Now, keep in mind, the speed limit over there is 35 miles per hour. So this is a full adult woman and the speed limit is 35 miles per hour. There's no way they could have done all that damage and she not be here.
That's true.
And so when I, going back to when I first got to the scene, I went to the police. There was a police hub on that same street, Donnelly Hollowell Parkway, within 5 minutes from where she was hit. I walk in, I have my sister with me, my sister Kim, and I have a sister friend, Daphne Robinson, and I think Monty Benjamin. They live in Atlanta. And so we went to the police station and I said, hello, I'm here. I'm still in shock. I'm here for my daughter. They told me my daughter was killed on this street. And the officer at the desk, he didn't have a clue. He said, well, I don't know anything about it. You mean to tell me with all these radios going on, you 5 minutes away from the crime scene and you don't know anything about it? I didn't expect, you could have said, I don't know her name, but yeah, I'm aware of the accident. And so the desk officer said, well, let me call my supervisor. So he calls his supervisor up on the phone and he said, well, I have a lady here who said her daughter was killed this morning. And that cop said, well, what does she want us to do about it? That's what this white cop said. And he was so comfortable in saying it. I said, what? Are you kidding me? I said, what I want you to do is find out who killed my daughter. That's what I want you to do. I couldn't believe it. And then he was silent for a few seconds. And then he told the officer at the desk, use your discretion if you want to give her some information. That's what Atlanta police said. And I said, first of all, I'm asking about my daughter that was killed in your streets. I'm not breaking any HIPAA laws. That's not a Jane Doe. That's my daughter. And I have a right to get information about what happened to her. And then I said, Lord Jesus, if this is what the people in Atlanta have to go through, have mercy on us. And I left. But he said, first, what do you want us to do about it? And then to use your discretion if you want to give her some information. Who says that and who does that? If somebody killed your loved one and you know that they have the information and they come ask you, what do you want us to do about it? And then I'm going to decide whether or not I'm going to tell you about it. How would you feel? I mean, that just was another stab in the heart because I was like, it made me afraid even more. And I was like, oh, my God, what am I up against? And I was like, Lord, you got to show yourself strong. Because if this is their attitude, heaven help, you know? And so, and it was like pulling teeth. I called the police sergeant. His name was Sharon Baum. I never got a response. I emailed everybody from day one. I went to the mayor's office. I never got to see Mayor Andre Dickens. I emailed him. I didn't ask him for anything. I just wanted him to acknowledge that my daughter was killed in the street. And can you give me some information how I can navigate through this process? I never got a response from the mayor. But yet when the young man, God rest his soul, and I feel for his parents because they lost a child, from Georgia that was coming from some bar with his teacher and she was driving and they hit a tree. The mayor had a press conference. And then just recently, a couple of weeks ago, there was a young lady that was at a club. She played on the volleyball team. The mayor has now, the city of Atlanta has now put a temporary restraining order on that business. But she's an athlete.
Wow.
And I'm saying, well, what about my child? What about my daughter? That was my only daughter. She meant something to me. And you mean to tell me you can't even acknowledge that she died, but when these athletes, something happened to them, you call a press conference? So what does that say to me and other mothers? That you don't value our children because they're not rich, they're not professional athletes, or they're not collegiate students. But she was there working in your city. And every time I walk through the airport and it says, welcome to Atlanta, I'm Mayor Andre Dickens, my skin cringes. I just want to scream. Like, get off this microphone. You didn't even acknowledge me. I've been to your office 5 times. And each time I have not seen you. I've come different times. just to have a conversation to say, look, Mayor Dickens, you have had 38 people die from hit and runs or some type of car accident in your city, and nothing has changed, and people are still dying.
Wow.
And I haven't gotten a response. I showed up at city council because I didn't know what to do. I wasn't getting any response from the mayor's office. That's how I end up at city council and standing before them and having a conversation to say, hey, you took one of my most precious jewels. I don't get that back. My daughter didn't have any kids. So I don't get to see that generation, that next generation of what could be. Her life was just taken. And I'm saying that I'm supposed to accept the fact that my daughter was killed, and I'm supposed to come home with that and deal with that. And that's it. It's like, okay, sorry about your loss. Oh, well. And it's vehicle violence. It's just as bad as gun violence. And nobody's addressing that. So, and here I am.
Right. And that is crazy, because like I said in the intro too, about, you know, you're the second mom that we had on here that, you know, was involved with a pedestrian, you know, death, and the police is just the negligence for the police, mm-hmm. and just those that are there for that reason, EMS, mm-hmm. and these other people, man. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous too, but because these are all people who get paid by tax dollars, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. your daughter worked in the city. She worked in Atlanta. So she paid taxes in the state of Georgia and Atlanta, you know, city taxes and everything else that was going on. And it just tells me that we are worth nothing to the very people that we employ. Like, we are the responsible for the people having the jobs that they do have, and yet they can do all these things and just make it seem like it don't even matter. They just brushed your daughter up, cleaned it up like it never happened, and then wouldn't want it. Like, my thing is that, what? Okay, so to me, like, how could you? How inhumane are you? Like, if this was your child, like, what would you do?
Right. And my thing is, it happened to me. And I said to city council, it happened to me today, tonight, not tomorrow, tonight, it could be you. That's how dangerous it is driving in the city of Atlanta. And I said, you owe us that, us meaning the citizens. I said, what are you saying to your constituents? Because I asked them, I said, how many more people have to die before you make this a priority? Because there was a time, they know it's a dangerous highway. And what they said to me is the state and the police have diplomatic immunity. So they can't be touched. So they are in no rush to fix these highways, even though they know that it's dangerous. You had a 9-year-old killed. You had a 14-year-old killed waiting for the school bus. That alone. And I'm saying, why isn't the community outraged? Because it happens so much and people are comfortable. You know, they have become desensitized to the fatalities or the accidents because they happen so much. And for me, because we're not holding them accountable, they're going to continue to do it. They have no incentive to change. So I have to keep showing up to say, hey, you know, I'm not going away right so fast. You're not going to kill my daughter and then tell me to go home and be happy about it. Because that's how I feel. That's what you're saying. Oh, sorry about your luck. And that was it. For you to say, what do you want us to do about it? You are an officer. You had Atlanta police officers who worked that venue, who worked that night, that when the officer came on scene, you didn't even take a statement from them. Why not? And they worked that venue. Why, if the mayor is putting a temporary restraining order on this place, 11 45 5 where the young lady was killed, the young lady from Auburn University, the volleyball player. Why didn't he do that to the bonfire? And you that my daughter attended along with some other people where she was leaving and she was not protected. It's been years and you haven't done anything to do any upgrades. I asked for them over a year ago because nobody, this is a sad thing, nobody on city council knew them. Limits. I had to tell them it's 35 miles per hour and some of them still don't know. And that's sad.
Wow.
And so I don't know what other recourse I have than just to be consistent and just keep showing up to city council. You know, because the mayor hasn't said anything to me. I don't even know why. I didn't ask him to come to my daughter's funeral. My daughter, her grave is in Illinois. She grew up, my family, the majority of my family is in the Waukegan, North Chicago, Chicagoland area. And that's where she's buried. So I had to have the expense of being out of town, going to get her, to ship her body to another state. That's the other painful part. When my daughter died, they didn't allow me to identify her body in Atlanta. They told me I couldn't do it. They had to release her to a funeral home. This is not her home.
Wow.
So the pain of having to know you and took my daughter's life, and now I got to wait to even visibly see her, don't know what I'm going to see, or even if this is her. And I was like, this is insult. I could see if I live there, but there should be some exceptions made if you live in a different state. And so just having to go through all that and not seeing Brittany until the day of her funeral, not knowing what I was going to see. And okay, well, I don't know what to tell you, but we can't do this. But just imagine that you can't even identify the body. And I said, well, you know, I need to know because Georgia, y'all steal body parts. I need to make sure she got everything that she's supposed. I didn't forget Kendrick Johnson, the young man that they stuffed with newspaper. When they took everything that baby had, and those parents are still fighting for him. And so my thing is, why do I have to beg the community to say, y'all know what happened to my daughter? And y'all gonna stay, you gonna stay silent? You know, if it was your loved one, how would you feel?
Right.
You know, even if it's not your child, the things that you love, if somebody just comes suddenly and take it away from you, you're gonna feel some type of way. Very and so it's like, what do you do with that? The police wasn't even willing. The Atlanta police weren't even willing to go to not the pawn shops, but I asked them, I said, well, call the junkyard or call the repair shops. You know, some witnesses, you know, said it was a Jeep this color, a Jeep that color. I said, well, it's only so many Jeeps in the city of Atlanta, why can't you call the BMV and see how many that you have registered and, you know, go by the process of elimination? I said, you know, the four white people in Iowa that was stabbed to death. I said, that town is smaller than you can place that town inside Atlanta with the number of resources that they have. When they were looking for the killer, they said it was 22,000 white Hyundai Elantras that fit the description. 22,000. But they found the person. Was it because they were white kids? And the city of Atlanta tell me they don't have the resources and they can't do that. And that's a lie, because had she been Mayor Dickens' daughter, they would have shook them streets, shake those streets or shook them. They would have found something, or his daughter, they wouldn't have told him, what do you want us to do about it? They wouldn't have said those things. things to them, to those people. And so what I'm saying is, what are you saying about me, your perceived value of me and my daughter, to where I can't get nothing out of you? And you tell me, you meaning the Atlanta police tell me, well, I'm sorry about your loss, but ain't nothing we can do too. And that's what they told me. And they closed the case into finding out who did it. Why do I have to keep calling you, begging you to say, is there any updates? The information that I asked for, I haven't gotten. And so I have until September of this year, and it'll be 2 years. So my statute of limitations will be expired. And so I have been trying to do the footwork to try to shake the streets myself, you know, to try to get some information. I tried getting attorneys to help me just to get information. It was like, oh, nothing we can do. They got immunity. You don't have no case. I was like, there has to be a loophole somewhere. There's no way in the world you can tell me that, you know, you can just kill people and that's it. And I'm just supposed to accept that. And how do you grieve when you're dealing with those type of circumstances? When you know, and I think about Brittany, and I'm thinking, man, Brittany, you was the last person to see the person who killed you. You know, they didn't. I don't have anything from Brittany where I can look. Did you? You didn't check her hair, try to check for paint, none of her clothes. I don't have them. They was destroyed. They said it was a biohazard, so they couldn't give them to me. So what evidence do you have if you do have somebody? It's just a whole lot that you have to deal with. And then every time, you know, I go into Atlanta and I'm in the airport or I'm over in that area and I have to pass the bonfire or see people coming in and out. And I have to say, I wonder, is it that person? Are they the one who did it? Or, you know, this person could be sitting up in somebody's church, but ain't nobody saying nothing. So you an accomplice. If you help that person get rid of the car, you're an accomplice. You mean to tell me, people say, oh, well, Valerie, they kind of just eating them up. It can't be, because it's been a year and you haven't said anything. And from the beginning, I said, I know mistakes happen and you may not have intended to run over Brittany and kill her, but the fact that we're still looking for you. I put my number out there. I had people call me and say, oh, I remember seeing, you know, afterwards, or the car was going so fast, I can't even really tell you what the actual color was, or what were you doing that you didn't see her? It was not like she was a little kid that darted across the street real quick. I'm talking about a 33-year-old full-grown woman, 5'9", that's walking across the street, and you didn't see her at all. What were you doing? Were you under the influence?
Yeah, you know.
Were you texting? Was it intentional? Did you just run it down for it not to be any trademarks? What is that saying? And so y'all tell me what I'm supposed to do with that.
I don't know. You doing everything that you can in your power, because you know, that's the, when things happen out of state, it just seems like you have to fight so much from a distance. It's like you know, you're trying to pull so much together and resources, and yeah, that's crazy. I just don't get it. Gotta be, you know, like, mm-hmm. even with witnesses, like, You know, I wish that a lot of the other parents, like you were saying, like about 38 of y'all, will all get together and just, you know, really make noise about it.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what's going to is when everybody start to really, because the court of public perception is a real thing, and it could really work. It's just that it just takes a lot of people at one time to really get things going. And I wish people would really realize that, man, and stand behind things like that, you know, because, you know, you just shouldn't have to go through that. That's crazy. And Meek, so I was thinking, like, last time we was talking, when we was talking to Courtney, we was thinking about, yo, listen, we learned from an early age mm-hmm. how to cross the street, right? So
yeah.
In these instances, like, for it not to even have no skid marks or nothing before or after they hit the person?
That's what got me. It was like, at least the after, like, there was no, like, second thought, like, oh, what happened? Like, so you just kept going? Like, mm-hmm. like, there's no way you didn't feel that you hit a person.
Right.
And that's the thing. You know, if I roll over a rock or a pop can, I'll say, ooh, what's that? And I'll try to look in my mirrors to see what it was. And I'm thinking, like, wow, that was really no compassion. I can understand you being scared, but to wait this long and not say anything. And I had the opportunity and the privilege of meeting Courtney. And we do communicate. There was another family, but they live in another country. Their son was going to the University of Georgia. And the driver ran through the light. They have it on tape. Hit him and another person. The young lady lived, but their son didn't. And I don't know if it's because it's people out of state, but they still have not gotten any justice for their child either. Mm. And so,
yeah, I heard them too.
I know it takes a collab.
Yeah.
I know they're in Europe. I think they're somewhere like that out there. Because she was
Say
telling
me
about their story. That I was saying that.
Yeah, what was the question?
No. We was talking about that family that you were just mentioning that's over in Europe somewhere.
Australia.
They were talking about that with the family because that family was able to connect a couple of other people from going through all the things that they went through. So, and they out of the country and they're trying to fight. So I get it. Yeah. It's really crazy how, you know,
yes. like
the very people you pay to protect you, the people who you pay to, you know, to rescue you if you getting hurt, like all these things from the fire department to the paramedics to the EMS to all of these people, these are things that we go to work for each and every day so they can function and society can move and mm-hmm. to be treated like how you guys have been treated, especially you, like for you to hear that, like, what does she want us to do? Like, wow. Like,
yeah. And then here's the other thing. I was out passing flyers over on the street where Brittany was killed. And I went back to the bonfire on a Sunday because that's the night that they be popping, right? And there was a police officer, Atlanta police officer. And I give him the flyer and he looks at it and he says, oh, that was a long time ago. I said, excuse me? I said, that was just like yesterday. I said, that was well, maybe you haven't lost a daughter. Maybe nobody killed your daughter. I said, but whether it was a long time ago or not, the person has not been arrested. And I said, I'm still out here trying to get the person arrested, find out who did it. And I'm thinking, and then he was like, oh, well, I'm sorry. And I was like, this is why the person is still running around. Attitudes like that. And it was so cold in Cali. It was like, I mean, he just made the face like, Oh, that happened a long time ago. 1 year is not really a long time ago. And you being an officer, why didn't you, even if you're, if the other officer that came to the scene, why didn't you volunteer to say, here's, this is what I seen and this is what I know? Because the witness said that an officer came to block other cars from running Brittany over again. That was never in the police report as being one of the witnesses. So why wasn't it? You know, so why are you withholding information? You know, so I do feel celebrity, the outcome would be totally different. Please. And the response from the mayor's office. Yeah, I haven't gotten any of that. To this day, I have not gotten a reply email from the mayor's office saying anything, not even acknowledging. I've gotten a response from city council because I keep showing up. That's who I see. Because they have an open forum and then you can speak. And so, and even not all of them have shown any really compassion. There's only been a few who pledged their support. Now the $10,000 reward that we have, there was a commitment from Keisha Waits, Byron Adams. It was a handful of them who donated that money towards the reward. And so my thing is, it should have been a whole, it shouldn't have been just a handful. It should have been the entire city council. Because these are your streets. You allow the state to build these streets through residential areas. So you partly to blame. But, you know, the state, they keep, that's the first thing they tell you. Well, you can't sue the state because they have immunity. You can't, you know, sue these people. And I think that should be, there should be a petition to change that because then they don't have any incentive to change.
Gotcha. So when you said you were sending a letter to the mayor's office, how often is that a thing that needs to happen? Like more, like you need more letters to go to the mayor's office in regards to your, is there like a template, a template letter that, you know, other people can like kind of fill out and stamp and sign and, or,
yeah,
you know,
that would be great. I don't have a template that I had. I was just writing as a concerned mother who lost a child. I wrote a letter. I was emailing and I went. I did email the federal government, Pete Buttigieg, the Secretary of Transportation. Right. Now he did not reply back to me directly. But he did, I'll say his office contacted the Georgia Department of Transportation. And the only reason why I know that is because the Georgia Department of Transportation sent me one email that said, we got a copy of your letter that you sent to the federal government concerning my daughter. We're going to look into it. And that's it, that one time. And so I said that I would follow back up with the Secretary of Transportation to say, hey, they haven't done anything. I haven't government to go back to Georgia. For Georgia to even say, okay, yeah, we're sorry about your loss, for the Georgia Department of Transportation.
Wow. Yeah, we
got, and they said that they were going to be making some changes. And the things that I had asked for like the crosswalk, traffic cameras, traffic lights. Those are not hard things to do. You have infrastructure dollars. You can put that in right away. It's not costing you anything extra to put those. But I that pedestrian fatalities, Atlanta is one of the most dangerous cities. There's, I'm trying to think of off the top of my head. I can't think of the number right now, but just being aware that it's a real thing, and to follow up with writing. If you don't write an email, write a letter. You can email the city council, the mayor's office. Everybody knows somebody that's in Atlanta, some kind of way. Even not in Atlanta, where you are. Now they have, October is Pedestrian Awareness Month. Most people think when they hear October is Domestic Violence Awareness or Breast Cancer Awareness.
Yes.
So it's also Pedestrian Awareness Month. And so I just want people to remember Brittany, Quenisha, Neil, and other families, the families that I don't know. My heart goes out to them. I wish I could connect with them. Some families don't want to relive it, you know, but just being able to connect and say that we demand change, and it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't have to happen to your loved one before you actively get involved. And that's so what I can say about Brittany is that the city of Atlanta, they did give us a proclamation, and I have that here. This was, if you can see it, the city council did give her this. But the proclamation is okay, but it does not still hold the person accountable who did this.
Oh, right. Which is the most important part, because those are the people who we have to get off the streets, because they'll wind up doing it again. And they might, you know, because of the way that sounded, you know, didn't have any skid marks nowhere on the street. That's before or after. Just says a lot about whoever that person is, you know, like they really, whether they feel bad or not, or they conscious eating them up alive now or not, I can't necessarily say that. They didn't even slow down, it seems like, you know. So, but that's another thing. We got to find a way to connect all the families in that area for some, you know, some way that, you know, and the ones that don't want to be involved, respect to them, you know, we understand. But for those that may not know that there's a group of people who want to get involved, I think it just has to be the police and just the people in civil service alone in all of these places, like not just Atlanta, but all these major cities, especially throughout the South. You know, it's all like the same story. The police and those people in that space, they have no regard for those that look like us. And for some reason, we're still running off of the basis of racism. And I think it's beyond that now. I think we have to take the route that all of these other people were able to do in order for them to get changed, was really consider these things hate crimes. Because, you know, yeah, we can say that it has nothing to do with the color of your skin, but technically, if you are a person of civil service and these are law-abiding citizens, regardless of what stage of the game they are, because like you said, if it ain't an athlete or someone that is in some type of high space, they're not willing to, you know, bring notoriety to it or make any type of change. So going after what they feel like would bring more attention to them. And we have to change the narrative by the people who are affected actually being able to come together and make the noise that's needed, because social media is a powerful tool, right? But people have to be willing to use it. And it's going to take each and every day, but you have to use it, because that's how it's going to get out there to enough people to connect them. Because one thing that's going to happen is somebody going to say, well, I'm going through that right now, or I'm going through that right now. Let me empathize with this mother, or empathize with this parents or whatever. And that's how we got to get the movement going. But that's why this platform exists, you know, because until now, a lot of you, this is be your first time even being able to tell a story in a like this. And that's crazy. You've been going through stuff for years and you guys haven't had the opportunity just to tell the story.
Yeah, and most people don't want to hear it, you know.
But
to be honest,
we got to think about it. No, it's I really think that the that's a misconception in some type of ways, is that people don't want to hear it in the sense of it when it don't happen to them. Right?
Right.
But until it does, then that's when things turn completely around, because all the parents that I've had on there so far, all of them have said the same thing. I've never thought that this would happen to me. You know? So that's a recurring theme. So when enough of the parents that are going through these things actually connect and really use the social media tool, it's going to really change things, I promise. Because these people are not going to be able to sleep knowing that every day they wake up, no matter how many, what they do, their phone's going to be ringing, the email's going to be buzzing. People are talking about you in a way that is not cool. And you're going to have to do something about it. But it's just not enough of us.
Right.
And then you guys really ain't hardly had time to grieve, because you had to fight. You've been fighting since you found out. How can you grieve? How can you take the moment to even, you can't. You can't. You got to fight. Mm-hmm. The moment you sit down to grieve is the moment but you can't, because you continuously are fighting for your child, and people don't understand how important that is, and people take that stuff for granted, you know. The relationship between, you know, a parent and child. Some of us deal with stuff where, you know, not to get off the subject at all, but some of us are dealing with parents who are still alive and they don't even deal with their children the right way.
Brittany and I were really close. You know, we talked every day. Even that Sunday night when she was going to the venue, she was like, well, it's new. I'm not sure if I want to go or not, but since I'm just here for the weekend, I'm just going to go with them. And the other thing, you know, when I talked about when I got there and the scene was cleaned up, the food that she had in her hand, the trays weren't even there. You know, like, I was expecting to see food in the middle of the street. You know, when I tell you they cleaned up that street, it was clean, because I kept saying, well, what happened? I got confused all over again. It's like, is this the spot? You know, I didn't see anything. There was one little piece of crime scene tape by the pole, but nothing was blocked off. It was just business as usual. And that shocked me. You know, it was like there was no evidence that somebody was killed right here. You know, I even asked the police, and, you know, it's the old Bankhead area, but they're gentrifying that area, right? And so they have these new condos over there. I even asked the police, I said, well, can you talk to the people that's in the condos? And he was like, well, even if they had the security system, they wouldn't have been able to cover the street where your daughter was killed. I'm like, this is a two-story building. Right here at this corner, somebody would have been able to see something. And when I tell you every option or suggestion I had for them to look, they gave me a reason why they couldn't do it. Mm. Yeah, so.
That's another thing, right? You know, you got to fight against that type of opposition. I feel in life, right? I think, Meek, we talk about this a lot. In life, there are people out here who just like to be opposite, no matter what. You know, they're just going to be contrary to who you are, what you have going on. Just makes them feel good. And in this regard, you know, it's not happening to these people. Mm-hmm. Like, the things that guys are dealing with, it's not happening to them, and until it does, they don't know what it's like to be in you guys' shoes until it does, because if it happened to them, they'll be tearing the place up trying to get information, like you said earlier, right? They'll go through any extreme possible, right, to figure this out. And you made a really valid point earlier too about the body part thing, because that's a big thing too that I think a lot is swept under the rug, how a lot of people are coming from body parts that are being sold and different things like that. For those people that look like us, right?
Yeah.
This is like a hot commodity. So the fact that you were even hip to that and was on that and was like, listen, I need to see my daughter, because y'all doing other things out here. We know it. And fact that people are not paying attention to that. They, it's bigger than that. So I want people that are watching right now, those of you guys that's going to watch this playback, I want you guys to really think about this. Like I always say, each and every show that we have one of the impacted families on here, listen, it could happen to you. So the fact that it's not at this moment or we're not speaking that I wanted to, I'm saying get involved. Help these people, like, in whatever way you can. Like I said, send them a little message or a little emoji, letting them know that you care, that somebody thinking. When clips come out, share it for them. We got to use these hashtags. We got to get involved. You know, don't be a person that just sits back, watches the videos or watches the clip and be like, oh, and they say it, but you don't really get involved. All you got to do is hit the share. It's free. Hit the share button. Hit the like button. Help, you know, reach algorithm so it could get to enough people, so then now we can move it around, because this is election season. As much as they're trying to distract us with Diddy and everything else, remember, the most important thing going on this year is election year, and for these senators and everything, y'all want to get these things, we have to attack now in unison. That means all of the impacted families, regardless of how you were impacted, we got to get together. We got to use these platforms and we have to get involved. Let them be known that, yo, these senators, we got to write these senators. That's why I said something about a template, right? Because a template need to be made. That way everything is uniform. You know, nobody's saying one thing and the other and all that. They need to be uniform. Sure. It need to be a template. And they need to go out to all of these places. They need to go out to these senators in these states. They need to go out to everybody that's involved. It need to be every week a person need to buy a book of stamps. I don't care, whatever the investment. And we need to stamp, we need to send these letters out by mail each and every day, because they have to open them by federal law. That's the one thing that a lot of people don't understand. They have to. And then send the emails to the people. We got to do these things, everybody that's involved each and every day. Like, you don't take no days off each and every day, even on Sundays. You know they ain't there, but still, on Sunday, get there Monday. They need to have emails from Sunday and Monday in there. But we got to do it, you know? So I encourage y'all, man. Like, I really encourage y'all to not take this lightly. Get involved, because these things can happen if we all get involved. We have to. So, you know, Valerie, I want you to, before we go and all that, I want you to, you know, please let everybody know how they can get in contact with you to get more information. First of all, before we go, let me read, I want to, there is a reward flyer. We're going to post a reward flyer on our social medias, but I want all of you guys to actually go to Valerie after she tells y'all where to follow her and stuff at, because we want you to get everything from her firsthand. You know what I mean? But there is a flyer. It is a cash reward, a $10,000 cash reward. The family of Brittany Patrice Glover is seeking your help for information regarding the fatal hit and run that happened in Northwest Atlanta Monday, 9/19/2022, around 2:20 a.m. The female victim, Brittany Patrice Glover, was struck and killed by an unidentified driver in front of the Bonfire ATL compound at the intersection of Donald Lee Hollowell Parkway and Finley Avenue Northwest. Anyone with information is urged to contact the Atlanta Police Department, Zone 1, 404-799-2487, or Homicide Unit, 404-546-4235. Detective Hartfield or Sergeant Wright, reference complaint number 22-262-0176. If you wish to remain anonymous, please contact at Atlanta Crime Stoppers at 404-577-TIPS or 404-577-8477. And of course, there's a website to the Crime Stoppers Atlanta .org. And then plus a $2,000 Crime Stopper reward is offered. Submit your serious anonymous tips online. So a total of about $12,000 for them to figure out if we can get any witnesses that could come in and at least give a really good description of the car, the vehicle, tag, whatever you can. It had to be going fast because there was no skate. So I don't know what, but cameras, I don't know. It has to be something out there, y'all. And for the person that that did this, that may see these clips and all that other stuff, man, I just, you know, yeah.
I mean, or if you know somebody whose car was jacked up around that time, like, please call in, say something, like, because you know somebody has to have seen something at this point. They may not have known what happened, but if they hear this story and you notice, oh, you know what, so-and-so's car was messed up around that time.
Let's do it. Let's call get it in,
y'all. Because, yo, that's really, like we say, it could be you. And that's facts, because you can walk out the door, cross the street, and get hit by a car. Like, mm-hmm. This can happen. This can happen to your loved one. This isn't just a freak thing. This is happening way too much. And, like, if you know anything, say something. There's right. No reason for almost 2 years she should just be wondering, you know, right. What happened to her daughter. Nobody would have liked that. And about those cops.
Mm-hmm.
When will they see us as humans? You know, like, we are people. Mm-hmm. Even if this is something they have never experienced, they haven't lost their child. Compassion, empathy is real. These mm-hmm. things that we hear on these stories, like, I haven't ever experienced these things, but I can feel that pain. Like, I can understand, because I have children, and if something were to happen and they were taken away in this brutal way, I can empathize and say, this is how that would make me feel. And the fact that they just brushed it off, if you start to lose sensitivity because of your line of work, you might need to switch out, because these things should still get to you. These should still pull on your heartstrings. It shouldn't be something that you can brush off as if you didn't hear it, as if it didn't happen. That should be a requirement for these types of positions, because you need them.
Mm-hmm.
Not where it will hinder you, where you take that home with you. It's too much. I understand there's a fine balance, but you shouldn't be callous to it either.
Right.
There should be a fine line. You should be able to empathize and to be able to know that saying mm-hmm. something like, what does she want us to do about it, is insensitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
It shouldn't have to be told to you. You should know that that's insensitive.
Exactly. And you shouldn't even ask a question that you know the answer to. It's a mom here. What do you mean what you want to do? Give us some information.
What even happened? If there was nothing that he could do, that's still an event.
Give it an information. Like
that, regardless.
Right.
It should have never been the answer.
No. Number one answer should have been, well, ma'am, this is what we have. And then mm-hmm. run it down.
Right.
And then let them piece things together. Not, hey, look, I don't know what you're talking about. What you mean you don't know? Like, yo, you lying if you don't know. You 5 minutes.
And even if he didn't know, that's not the thing you say.
Exactly. That's find out.
You know what? Okay. Let me find out.
Exactly.
Like that. There's no way that they didn't learn that.
Know, what do they want us? What do you mean with? Listen, fam. Like, see,
the way that's I what says. Left.
Listen,
it's like, where was I supposed to go if I didn't go to the police department to get the information?
Exactly.
You know, where else was I supposed to go?
If that wasn't where you're
going,
they could have and directly go to the hospital. The right place. It's like
anything.
Where do we go? Like, all right, we go to the hospital. All right, which hospital? All right,
so they never took the Brittany. That's one, a right? thing. Just they never like, took Brittany to the hospital.
Oh,
they never took her to the hospital.
Oh, that's different.
They left her there in the street, because on the phone, when they called me, that's the first thing I asked. I said, well, what hospital is she in? And they said she's not. We're waiting on the medical examiner. The hospital, a physician had to declare you dead. And then that's what made me think that Brittany died on impact. But then when there was a witness that said, no, she lifted. Well, how? So you miss the traumatic piece is, what was my daughter thinking? You know, how is my mom going to know what has happened to me? I was robbed of the right to hold my daughter in her last breath. And some people say, well, would you have wanted to do that? Yes. When you're a mother, when you bring up your kids and they fall and scrape their knee, you're the first person that they run to. You know, even though it may not be that bad, you still encourage them that it's going to be okay. My thing was, you didn't even give me the right to say, to hold her hand and say, Brittany, it's going to be all right. I didn't get that last hug. I didn't get to lay eyes on her. You know, I had to wait to the day that she was, her funeral, to see her. And for you to be that insensitive, to ignore, you know, like it was no big deal. You know, there's a whole lot of things that go through my mind. Like, you know, what was her final thoughts? You know, that's something that I wanted to be able to do, even in knowing that I would never see her again on this side. I at least wanted those last few minutes. I wanted to be the last thing that she's seen to encourage her to be at peace if she was transitioning. But right. To leave her there in the middle of the street.
Right.
And nothing. And so they don't, when I say they, I'm just speaking.
There's a lot of
in general term.
No, it's they. It's
people
they.
Don't understand the ripple effect of one tragic accident, how it impacts the whole family, not just me, everything that was connected to Brittany. This one last piece and wrap up. When I try what it's like, I usually ask people, how many people have a cell phone? You guys both have cell phones? Yes? Right. No?
Yes.
You're saying yes, you have a cell phone? Okay, yes. And so when I ask people about how many people have cell phones, most people do. And think about when you have left your cell phone somewhere or you thought you lost your cell phone.
Right.
Panic set in, right?
Right.
Because your whole life flashes before you. You had all your important numbers, everything that's connected to you, your pictures, everything. And you like get that cell phone. Because it means so much to them. That cell phone is still not the same because everything don't transfer over. You know, that's how I feel about my relationship with Brittany. That was my cell phone. I lost my cell phone. I'm panicking. I need to go back and get it or I can't replace them. That's the closest analogy of that cell phone. But anything that you place value on, we don't want to lose it. We don't want to have to replace it, even if we can. And so I just want people to think about that. The things that you hold near and dear to you, how would you feel if it was just suddenly taken from you? How would you respond?
Right. Yeah, no, that was a pretty deep analogy because you're right, because I've seen it with my own eyes, like, yo, where my cell phone? Wait, hold on. Like, you know what I mean? And then
got to stop until you find that phone.
Listen, because you don't memorize numbers no more like back in the day. They just in the phone in, under their name. You know? Very few people numbers you memorize. Everybody else is like, you know, and then like you said, pictures and stuff like that. But I get what you're saying. It's like that thing where you missing it and you got to look for it and then you still looking for it and you knew that you where last you saw it too. And then you keep steps and you just hoping that it's going to pop up one day and then it don't like, so I get your analogy wholeheartedly and I hope the people watching and people going to watch the playback, I hope they get that too, because that's very important that you put it in that context, because you know you don't want to lose it like you said, and if you do, you're going to want people to help you find it,
right?
So people, we need to make sure that we could get behind some things other than things that immediately being in somebody else's business for being nosy. We got to be able to get into people's mm-hmm. lives from afar, letting them know that we empathize with their situation and that, you know, we're going to help spread the word. So what we want to do is, Valerie, mm-hmm. if you can, because like you said, you keep reaching out to the mayor. We know, you know, like Courtney, she's dealing with some things. So we got to get this thing going. So maybe we need to figure out a way to come up with a template, an yeah. email template that could be emailed and it could be physically mailed out. And it could mm-hmm. be addressed to senators in these states and other states and different things like that. And mm-hmm. it could be, even though you're in Ohio, we should be hitting the senators in Ohio to try to learn how to do more interstate communications when it comes to scenarios mm-hmm. like that. So that mm-hmm. way that we from other states, because we got Ashley McKenzie, whose child, she was dealing with a situation that was in Memphis, but she's from yeah. Atlanta. She has yeah. to go back and forth to Memphis to try to deal with that scenario. So that's another thing. We got to get more people involved, being that these things are happening in other places. Yes. You got law-abiding citizens in this state dealing with these other law-abiding citizens in these states, and there's no communication and no interaction. Mm-hmm. So that's how accountability can be held too, you know, mm-hmm. if we can get those things going. So yeah, it take the price of some stamps. Now mm-hmm. people willing to invest in some stamps, like I feel like that's something that's feasible for people to do, you know, so we yeah. can do it. So we come up with something. I think, you know, maybe it's a okay. thing. We got yeah. And then we could get these things out to people, and people could go ahead and mail them in, and just keep mailing them every week, and just making sure that they keep it going, and then emailing every week, even if they just yeah. create an email just to send these emails out. We could do that. You know, people got a bunch of emails for nothing, so it's nothing to create. Mm-hmm. Just to send out these emails, but we got to do it. This is the year. We got about a good
yes.
what. Months, if no, not even 6 months. What we got? Nah, we got about 6 months. No, not even 6 months. To November. What we got? About 5 months. No. 4 months.
Three till September 19th. So I have until September 9th. September.
4 months. So you yeah. have until September. So we got,
and Courtney right, has so, until November.
Okay, bet. So still within election season, still within election time. Mm-hmm. It's no yeah. better time than now. We just got to get mm-hmm. on and create template, a template where it says to read the same thing, and then boom, make it right. shake, and let's start stamps out, you know. I'm with it. We're going to continue to promote it on the show. I'm going to make sure that I reach out to
Thank
all
you.
The other moms, mm-hmm. and if that's something that they'll be willing to get behind, and then we just start attacking, you know, everything in this place. A couple of people are going through trials right now, so mm-hmm. hopefully communication, we could get them on top or aboard. But either way it go, I'm going to reach out to everybody that I've been talking to so far, and I have people scheduled to be on the show coming up. So we're going to continue to do it. And yeah, we got to figure this out. We're going to do it. We got
okay.
to. That's the only way. You know what I mean? We got to. We got to attack it from mm-hmm. where it means something. So let's do that. All right? We got to come up with some type yeah. of solution sometime. All right. So before we go, I want any last words about, like, okay, so first of all, social media handles, let them know where to follow you at, if you're on TikTok, if you're on Instagram, Facebook, and all that other stuff.
Active. when I say active, I'm not savvy with it. So Facebook is Valerie Carey, and then Instagram is Hands Down, and I think TikTok is BHandy548, and you know, I'll respond to, you know, if somebody follows up with me. So those are my handles. My email address is Ms. That's MZ. HANDY, the number 2. I'm doing some finishing touches on, I have created a foundation in Brittany's name. And so once I get all that ready to go. I'll, you know, show you, send that to you guys. And so it's about pedestrian awareness and advocating. And so it'll be about helping families that look like me, you know, to be able to walk them through the process, those who want, you know, the help, and to be able to connect, like you said, and have information for all 50 states, you know, so they could click a link where they can, you know, contact a senator, or if there's a pedestrian organization within that state, they could get that information from there. So that is one of my desires, to be able to provide that information through her foundation. And to, you know, continue her legacy. But I just want to say thank you so very much. God bless you. I appreciate you guys allowing me to share, you know, my walk, my journey thus far. And I just look forward to, you know, continuing to work with you and, you know, your family, your village, you know, and whatever I have to share with somebody else, I'm willing to do that.
Max.
So thank you. Do that.
Yeah, definitely. You're welcome. And like I said before, thank you for jumping on, and thank you for being willing to share your story, and, you know, be willing, a willing participant, wanting to link up with other parents and being able to get this message out so you guys can help protect those coming after your daughter, ending that foundation. So once you get everything together, let's link back up. We're going to stay in contact anyway, but let's make sure we link back up. Have you back on the platform so then we can then go ahead and put, you know, that awareness out and get more detail about that particular information, as well as how they could connect with all of the families in these different states and to be able to get that site going that you was talking about, so and figure out how to maneuver. So if they do happen to have a loved one in this state over here, this is how you go about it, dealing with it in that state over there before you even get there. It's, you know, when it comes to it. And we got to get the laws changed too when it comes down to identifying the body of your loved ones. Like, in the, as soon as the family is notified, they should be able to have, even if they give them a certain window of time immediately, that they should be able to identify their child. So we have to figure out a way how to get that into legislation, like write that in so they can understand that we're voting based on that too. So we got to get some things. We have some work that got to be done, right? These are things that we didn't know until we are faced with it. Unfortunately, you know, it takes things like, you know, happen to you and all these other parents for us to understand, okay, all right, bam, all right, this is how we have to do it. You know, the days of standing out in front of places yelling and screaming is over. Now we got to attack people where mad at. And so now we going for it. If they want to treat us like we less than, then, you know, y'all want to keep doing these hate crimes, that's what we about to attach ourselves to. You know, because right now that's what it's looking like. We're hate crime. You know, it's no longer past racism. Right now it's just basically hate crime. So we gotta all stick together when it comes to that. Meek, before we get out of here, what we got? Sure.
Human design still going on. We're running another workshop next month. Follow me on Facebook. Definitely get all the details. Still doing journals, planners. You guys know I personalize your personal development. So whatever it is that you need, I make sure that your journal or your planner is created just for you. So let me know what you're looking for.
There it is. There it is. Me and y'all already know. Y'all keep up with the platform. We got more families. We're talking to people as we continue to grow, man. And we want to keep continuing to help impact the families. Also, check all the content, new content every week. And, you know, like I said, we're just continuing to keep pushing. And we just want to make sure that we do our part, because, like I said, life is short, but it's even shorter alone, right? You can't live life by yourself. You have to be willing to get up, be around other people that's like-minded. And sometimes, you know, unfortunately, the way we find our purpose, you know, sometimes it is through tragedy. But once we do, then going forward, we will always continue to be in that positive light, and that's what we need to stay at. So thanks all of y'all that jumped on tonight, for everybody that, you know, and thanks for Yessi for dropping a comment. It's not a lot of people, it's a lot of people jumping off and on. We know a lot of people don't comment during times like this, because, like, yo, what do you say? Really, right? Like, it's really not much you can say that a parent hasn't already said, but now it's time for us to get behind words and put our pen to action, put our little Twitter fingers to action.
Get active.
And let's get it popping. So until next week, y'all, I want you guys to stay fly out there. And remember, if you don't believe in yourself, somebody else will, all right? So until next week, peace.